I don't know if y'all are feeling what I'm feeling, but it's pretty heavy up here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that your love is absolutely, it's just outrageous. It's even more than reckless. It's outrageous. The Lord told me during that last song that he tells me, you remember that scripture that says when David was in his underwear dancing before the Lord and he said, I'm going to be even more undignified than this. Well, Jesus said, I can use that too. And my love towards you, I'm going to be more undignified than this. And what that means is whatever it means to you is that he's going to be more undignified than he's been in the past towards you and his love for you and the way he's going to capture our hearts. There's a couple things I wanted to talk about this morning. And I didn't even finish my prayer. Just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That worship did me in this morning. Thank you, Jesus. May everything be done the rest of our time together. May it all be done for your glory. In Jesus' name. Okay. So firstly, what I wanted to talk about was this. So back in early part of this year, in it was either January or the first part of February, we had a teaching by Kimmy Grace, who played flute for us this morning, and it was about legal holds. And then we also had a teaching by Larry Wicks, second row here, the gentleman right here, if you don't know him. And he did a teaching for us on the courts of heaven. And if you have not heard those, man, you got to listen to them. You can get them on the internet. Kimmy Gracie's maybe not, because there was a problem with the recording that morning, and that's unfortunate, because there was some good stuff in there for us to chew on. But there was a thing that Larry touched on just for a half a second, and it got me and it got a few others, and he said something about living word, and for lack of a better term, you know, the trials that we have experienced as a body, in growth and in whatever, he felt like maybe we should go to the courts of heaven over the founding of Living Word. And so, we actually did do that. I took him at his word and I said, let's do that. And so we got the leadership together and we did that. Unfortunately, Larry couldn't make it that morning because he was feeling his back was hurting him very bad, or that afternoon. So, but we still went anyway because we felt like, you know, one of the things, if you know Larry and Joni, one of the things they'll tell you is, you got this. You have the Holy Spirit, right? Well, then you got this. And that's what he said. You don't necessarily need us. We'd love to be there, but you guys can do this. So we did it. And I wanted to just touch on it a little bit because if you're not familiar with going to the courts of heaven, it's essentially, you know, there our words can sometimes back us into a corner or put us in a box, and then we're powerless. Based on what we've said, what we've confessed with our mouth. And you know, God is way bigger than any of that, but still, there's the enemy can get a legal hold upon us by our words. He can catch us in our words, and he goes right to the courtroom and said, hey, they said this. All right. Then he has to abide by that, because God is not a lawbreaker. God abides by the law, by what he wrote, by what he put down. So we did this, and quite honestly, it wasn't a fair fight. It wasn't. I mean, and this was the cleanest prayer meeting that I have ever been in, and I've been in a lot of prayer meetings. But But this meeting that we had was as clean as the wind-driven snow. I mean, we went in, we didn't want to point fingers at anyone for any problems that we'd had. We didn't want to put blame anywhere. We just wanted to deal with the spirits behind it and get them dealt with and get them put away. And that's what we did. So real quickly, I wanted to cover some of the stuff that we covered, because we felt in the foundation that there was legalism, control, division, witchcraft, the Jezebel spirit, lack of love. And that's sad to say, but in the church, there is a lack of love. And mostly having to do, you know, and God bless Evan and Kirsten. They're helping us come into the place of understanding of what our love actually is, why, and helping us get past all that. And control is a big issue with all of us. And I'm going to go into that more as I delve into the other part of my teaching. But we wanted to deal with the control issue that was in the house, that was in the foundation. We dealt with that. We dealt with lack of forgiveness. We dealt with gossip and slander. So I wanted to read something on that, because gossip is a big one in the church. Somehow the spirit of gossip always finds the other spirits of gossip that are flying around the houses of God, and they all congregate, and they cause a lot of trouble. They cause a lot of trouble. They cause division. So I just want to run it through John 3:1-5 real quick, and I just want to cover this briefly. He says, "Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and the strangers." And, you know, right there, is anybody left out of that? You got your brothers and you got people that are strangers. Is anybody else left out? Nobody. So we have to be faithful. We have to be faithful whatever we do for the brethren and the stranger who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey... Yeah. All right, the iPad's not playing nice right now. Hang on. Let me put it a different way. So if you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Which to me just means we've got to encourage one another a whole lot more than we're doing. Because that's the will of God right there. In a body, the will of God is that we encourage one another in love. Because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth. And here's where it gets a little dicey. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. Boom, right there. The malicious word, that's the gossip that the Lord hates. He hates it. And what that comes out of, it comes out of control. Beloved, it says in verse 11, I'm going to skip to verse 11, it says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good." That's church. That's what we should be doing. We should be imitating Jesus. If we're not, why not? Why not? We need to be imitating Christ in the body. What does that look like? What do you think it looks like? It's going to look like everybody is loved. Because anybody that came to Jesus for healing, what happened? He healed them. He healed them. Be imitators. Do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God. Okay? Then, real quick, I want to switch over to Philippians 4:8. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things you are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." And we've heard teachings on this before. But if we're busy doing that, we're not going to gossip. And a lot of prayer meetings become gossip. And that's one of the things I absolutely loved about this going to the courts of heaven meeting that we had with the Dukas and a couple others, is that there was not a spirit of gossip in the room, but there was love, and there was a steadfastness to get rid of the garbage that's been holding us back. And if we start to understand the person at the other end of the issue that we're having in our bodies, we're well on our way to no more gossip, no more slander, no more of the stuff that brings division into the body. Because you have value and they have value. They are the person that you have ought against, if there is such a person in this body, whatever that is, they have value, as much value as you as a son. And so we need to go with that understanding, and then the world is going to see how great our love is. Because when we can love in here, we'll love out there. Because Christians are hard to love. Just kidding. Sort of. Ha. All right. Some of the other stuff that we dealt with in this prayer meeting was the mistreatment of people. And there were a couple of dreams that we talked about that we brought before the courts. And one of them was from Joyce Pettit. The other, which was powerful, the other was from Kirsten. And what Kirsten saw was that people, in her dream, the people that had things stolen from them, the stuff that was stolen was being released back to them. That's powerful. That's powerful, because the church, not necessarily this church, but yes, this church in the past has stolen some things from people. Physical things, probably not, no. But other things dealing with the spirit of a man, perhaps. God is restoring those things back. The church is letting, because of the, this thing released some stuff. Declarations that were made that were not of God, we dealt with those things. A spirit of judgment, death words, limitations that were placed on us by us. We dealt with those. Lack of faith, unbelief. So we dealt with a whole bunch of stuff, and we repented. We repented of everything that we could think of. And then we got to a place where we could declare the truth. And this is where we want everybody's help that calls this home. There are some sheets up here with the declarations that we wrote down. They're pretty generic for a reason, because you're supposed to go to the Father and ask the Father how you are to declare these. The declarations over LWMI were life, worship, a house of prayer, a house of fivefold ministry, prophetic purity. How many know that's lacking in the body, in the church? Not just here. Prophetic purity is an issue everywhere. A place of authority, a house of faith. We are part of the church universal. Family of humility and love. Respectful to one another. We consider others' needs before our own. Unity, selflessness, oneness, carrying the burden of the Lord and not men. That's a big one, because there was a lot of burden carrying of men here. That's gone. Wisdom to cooperate with God, heal our bodies, thanking God for salvations, healings, and deliverances. A thousandfold blessing release into the house, spilling over into this entire region. Heaven on earth. decreeing that we love people well. And I think this one's a really cool one. I think that, as I recall, Evan brought this one up. Abraham was promised land. I think you brought this up in that meeting. And land equals people. The people are the promise. So if you're interested in taking a declaration home and praying it every day, please take one. There's plenty here. All that to say, it was a powerful, powerful time of prayer. And we're going to do more of those. And I think we'd like to make it more wide-based so that more people can get involved in it. Because we need intercession. We need prayer. And we need everybody doing it, you know? So I wanted to mention that because I wanted to let you know that we took that serious. I don't know if everybody heard Larry say that, but I certainly did. And we took it serious and we went for it. And we accomplished, I think, what God had us accomplish. And there's more, you know, because there's always going to be more as we journey towards perfection. But we're moving forward. So now I wanted to switch gears a little bit and talk about the Holy Spirit, specifically being baptized in the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit, because my experience, guided by the Word of God, tells me that when we get saved, we are not automatically baptized in the Holy Spirit. There is teaching out there to that effect. Certainly not here, but there is teaching that's very similar to that. That once you get saved, well, that's it. You don't need anything else. You've got all the power you have right there. It's all right there. And that's not really true. I mean, you can make the Bible say that. But you can make the Bible say that war is good if you wanted to. So I want to delve a little bit deeper into that. We need to ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to seek it out, because that's what I did. I mean, I got saved at a church at the time, a vineyard, right down the road here when it was a vineyard, Tom Stipe. And it was fairly charismatic at the time. I got saved, but I didn't get baptized in the Spirit. I promise you. It took a long time for me to be able to speak in tongues. But when I heard that was legal, when I heard that you could do that, I was like, I want that. So I sought it out. I read the Bible, but I sought people who could pray for me. And it happened. So I know that in my own experience that it's not always automatic. Can it be? For some, they get saved and then bam, they go right into it. That was not my experience, unfortunately. I wish it had been, but it wasn't. So I want to bring up a scripture that illustrates my point beautifully, and it's out of Acts chapter 19. If you want to turn there, you can. I'm going to start at verse 1 in Acts 19, reading from New King James. And it says, "And it happened when Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' So they said to him, 'We haven't so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.' And their response is telling, because, you know, why would Paul even ask that question if it was always just automatic, right? So he asked a question because it doesn't usually happen that way. It can, because God is still sovereign, but so are you. You're sovereign over your body. The Bible says that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the spirit of prophecy is subject to the prophet. So you have control over your body. So you can let God do whatever he wants to do or not. So he's asking them because it's not automatic. And he said to them, well, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism, which is what kind of a baptism? Water. Then Paul said, well, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, here comes the second part, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So there were two baptisms there, if you all agree, right? It wasn't one big baptism. There was a baptism of repentance. And then there, in the name of Jesus Christ, and then there was a baptism of the Holy Spirit. So there's two, I believe that there are two baptisms for us. And if you are a follower of Jesus, a believer in Jesus, you really should do both. Anybody here not water baptized? Don't be embarrassed. Because if you're not, you should. It's not symbolic. It's a prophetic act. And it means something. So if you're not baptized in water, in the name, if you don't have the baptism in the name of Jesus, let us know. We'd love to help you in there. Because it's important for your walk. Will you go to hell if you're not baptized? No. I absolutely don't believe that. But don't you want all the help you can get? Because walking in faith is tough. You need all the help you can get. So if you are not baptized and you just don't want to say it in front of everybody, come talk to me because we'd love to fix that. So now speaking of baptism in the Spirit, do you think that the 120 in the upper room, if they had that experience, do you think they'd want to do it more than once? Do you think they only needed it one time? I mean, if you had the choice to get the upper room experience one day or every day, what would you take? Every day. Every flipping day. Because the water baptism is like you just need it one time and you're good to go. You don't need that multiple times. I've heard of people getting baptized 100 times in water. I'm like, why? You don't think the first one took? But a baptism in the Spirit is a bit like eating food. You don't eat food once and you're good. You got to have it every day, except on those fast days. I said the F word. So my contention to you this morning is going to be that we are going to seek out this baptism of the Holy Spirit daily, because that's what it's supposed to be. I'm going to look at Acts chapter 8 real quick in verse 14. Paul or Luke writes, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Again, that reiterates that point that the Holy Spirit's not an automatic. You have to ask for it. For as yet he had fallen on none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And this next verse, 18, is interesting. It says, when Simon saw that through the laying on of hands, the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered him money. So he saw something. There is a manifestation that is visible, I believe. I totally believe it. There is a visible manifestation of the Holy Spirit. A lot in this church don't like that. It looks messy. It looks scary. It looks weird. And it is. It's all those things. But don't be, we're not in this for a manifestation necessarily. We're not in it for that. We're in it because we need it. It's either you get it or you die. Get the baptism of the Holy Spirit or you're not going to survive. That's how it is. You're going to burn out crazy without the continual baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is why people do burn out, is because they're not getting that continuous baptism. So let's see. I want to look at real quick. I guess part of me, I'm just anxious because I want to pray. I want to pray the baptism on you. But I feel like I should cover a few little things here. I really got to get to prayer. So I'm gonna actually make this short, because I want us to get filled up. I'm tired of not walking a life that's full. Do we want the fullness? Yes. I want the fullness. It says here, just so that you know, John 1:16, the fullness and of his fullness we have all received. So you already have the fullness. However, I believe that it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit that brings that all out, that brings out the love, that brings out the kindness, the goodness, and the self-control. I want to talk about the self-control because I said I was going to. So in the church, for a long, 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 long time, they have not enjoyed the fruit of the Holy Spirit because they've wanted to have the control. They wanted to have the power. And this house is not that way. The leadership of the church universal, and I'm not picking on any church, I'm not. Trust me, I'm not. But the leadership loves control. And so they don't like the Holy Spirit. Because what is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Well, self-control. Okay? So John Roth needs to be the driver on the John Roth bus, not somebody else. And the Holy Spirit needs to be the co-pilot. He needs to be my GPS, and I need to listen to him. Because if I'm anybody be on a road trip, were you the driver, or did you have to, or did you get to sit back and relax? The driver has to pay attention to all the signs. The passengers all get to relax and sleep and eat and do all this other fun stuff, but if you're driving, you're in control. And God wants you in control of your life, not somebody else. So we don't exude control in this house. We allow everybody to through the Holy Spirit to be guided. Now there's always safety concerns about stuff, but quite honestly, a lot of that, sometimes it's guided by a spirit of fear and not the spirit of the living God. Because God is bigger than any of our screw-ups. And he can handle it. We're the ones that can handle it. It's You know, I sometimes hate myself that I hate that I do this when with my son. He's 6 years old and he's a mess maker. And I'm like, oh God, another mess. And I get all huffy puffy. I'm the big bad wolf. And I wish I could just tape my mouth shut and not manifest that spirit. And it's coming. It's coming where I'm going to do that. And my son's going to, because I see, you know, sometimes he flies off the handle. And I know he learned that from me. So, you know, the Holy Spirit's working on all of us. And we all have work to do to, like I said earlier about the whole building process, we all have work to do to get higher. So, kick the driver out of your car and get in that chair, get in that seat. Get behind that wheel and start driving. And then turn your GPS on and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. Because he won't go, you know, he will go, you just missed your left turn, you better recalibrate. I'm recalibrating so you can turn around. We need to find the quickest way for you to turn back around. John, turn around! So, get in. Part of our encouragement, my encouragement is that we all get back in the driver's seat. Some of it was fear. I know in the church we've controlled one another, and maybe it wasn't a part of the leadership. Maybe it was just somebody in the church wanting to control somebody. Nobody in the church is supposed to control anybody, because we all have the Holy Spirit. I have the same Holy Spirit as you. We all have the same GPS, and he's trying to get us all to the same place. Different journeys, but same place. And the only way we're going to get there is if we get baptized. And to me, it's not necessarily as much it studying, being in the presence of God. Those things are so important. But I heard Bill Johnson say once about being walking in the Spirit. He said that you can think all day long that you're walking in the Spirit when you're by yourself. But when you get with people, there's where you find out how much in the Spirit you are. And that's the truth. So walking in the Spirit, God wants you to be around his people. It's walking. It's not sitting in your easy chair reading the Bible. Important as that may be, that is very important. But the Spirit inside you has got to spill out into the people all around you for you to be effective. I mean, you can know a bunch of scripture, but and I'm no scholar. I'm a son. I'm not a scholar. And the difference probably is relationship. So, you know, I want to cultivate my relationship. Yes, I do, and that entails presence, being in his presence. That entails talking to God. That entails reading. But I'm telling you, we are called to manifest adoption on the earth, which is love. We're called to this. We're called to reveal the love of the Father to a lost and dying world. And so that's what I want my life to be about. That's what I want us to be about. And I think I'm going to end it there. I'm going to end it with one scripture. Okay, and this is going to be in regards to what I'm about to pray for all of us. And in Matthew 21:22, it says, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. It's been on my heart for 2 weeks now. about the subject of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I've been praying every day for it, and it is finally here. And I've wanted an upper room experience, and I want us all to be, I want us all to have that. I'm not looking for manifestation. If it's there, it doesn't scare me. What I'm looking for is, because when these people were baptized in the Holy Spirit, they got bold. They got bold, and that came, the boldness brought the increase. It wasn't just about speaking in tongues. They got bold. They found out the real Jesus. It was all about power and love, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I think. Power and love. Spirit and fire. So, Father God, I just thank you. I just thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit. I thank you, God, for fire, for real fire, the real fire around your throne. I pray, God, that you would touch every single person in this room right now, and touch every single child, and touch Bill and Victoria, touch every person in the building right now with your fire, with your Holy Spirit. I pray right now for a filling up of the Holy Spirit in every person right now. Let it come, Lord. Jesus wants to break off fear. He wants to touch the places in your life that you fear right now. So in the name of Jesus, the spirit of fear, I break off your lies in Jesus' name. You are no more. You are a liar. And we do not have to fear, because the thing on the other side of that fear is small. There's like 3 inches and then you hit the ground. The thing that you fear is small. The God that you love is big.
Just a quick addition, and actually John already touched on it, but I really want to accentuate on it that sometimes we get so manifestation crazed in the church, and sometimes it's an inhibitor. It's like the unspoken elephant in the room. It's like, well, why is anything happening to me, and things like that. And I went years after being baptized in the Holy Spirit not operating powerfully in the Holy Spirit because I was waiting for the manifestation. And the manifestations are real. Like John said, generally, they happen. Like when someone comes by faith and desire and they get prayed over, stuff happens, okay? But sometimes it doesn't. And don't get wrapped up in that, because I was getting wrapped up in that. And I've seen the manifestations. I've seen like crazy town. I mean, it's just, you know, if we've been in these types of circles for long enough, we've all seen it. And it's, yeah, it's good. But sometimes it doesn't quite happen. Don't get wrapped up. If you ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit, know that, like, man, like, exactly. If your son asks you for a loaf of bread, right, are you going to give him a rock? You know, God says, how much more? I mean, your heavenly Father, who loves you and cares for you and wants to give you his Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, he wants that for you. So just know that it's yours. And after this happens, you begin to gain consciousness of what is inside of you and step out on faith on those very gifts that you're desiring. Does that make sense? Because that's what I had to do. I had to believe that I had received it and begin to operate in those things by faith. It's by faith. It's not just like some magical thing, like the sorcerer was, you know, Simon was looking for. Okay, so don't get wrapped up in manifestations, please, because it's a big inhibitor now. And don't be afraid of him either. Just be willing and ask him with a sincere heart, with desire, Because desire is the door to more. That's a word that God has been giving to me for several people, but now it's just to the whole church. Your desire is your door to more. And by faith. It's by faith. Okay? It's that very thing that rises up in us that says, I really want this manifestation, whatever, that, and the sensuality and the feelings that he's actually delivered us from. We're not living by feelings or from sight. We're living by faith. So receive it by faith, no matter what it looks like, and step forward by faith in what you've received. We good? Yeah.
Yeah. So, and with that, one of the other things that they did when they were filled, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit like that, prophecy comes. Okay? Prophecy comes. So you're being filled with the Holy Spirit right now, every one of you. You are able to prophesy. And the body needs it. The world needs it. So I fully expect some prophecies to come forward this morning because God is filling us all right now. So we can let's continue. We don't have anywhere to be right now.
All right, so desire is the more is the door is the more for more. So is the door for more, and it's probably about time. So you're dismissed. If you'd like to be dismissed, or if you have something to go, we honor that. If not, we just invite you to come up, and we're just going to pray, and we're going to hang out, and it's going to be good. And we could actually practice this impartation, but also practice these gifts of the Spirit. So if anyone has a word, we could, it's kind of like the way we began service, okay? It's the Hebrew bookmark, okay? We begin and end on the same type of deal. So we're just going to have our little powwow, little prayer meeting. Holy Spirit's here. He's going to come. It's been amazing today. Is that
Yeah. If you want laying on of hands, come forward. If you feel like you need to have that, I want you to come forward. We want to pray. We want to bless that. And we want to pray over you. It's a simple prayer. So please come. Please come up. Come get filled.
Yeah, otherwise you're dismissed. God bless you guys.